In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. One of the all-prevailing illnesses of our day is that of solitude, unacceptable solitude and loneliness among so many people. I run into this all the time. People whom you may meet every day and seem as friendly and as warm and as outgoing as anyone you've ever run into, at the same time may be suffering from a profound isolation and loneliness. And it seems like the more communicative that we get as a society, it often has the effect of isolating us from each other even more. And this is a bad thing, I think, altogether, because as human beings, we are corporate people. We are made to interact with one another, to share thoughts and feelings and love and everything else that the Lord has given us. And so that's why when we look at this gospel today about the widow of Nain, who had lost her husband we don't know when, and had just lost her only son, we can feel a profound empathy with her and not look at this particular gospel reading through the eyes of a resurrection occurrence, of the Lord raising someone from the dead, which it most certainly is, but instead of a message of comfort that the Lord gives. Because it's very obvious from reading this gospel that the Lord was not doing this for the sake of that young man who had died. He was doing it for the sake of this grieving widow. And a widow back then, without any family whatsoever, only one son, that was not an easy position to be in. Now we can assume that this woman was someone who had friends, because it talks about a large crowd was following the funeral procession. And there was an even larger crowd that was following Jesus as he ran into this procession and decided then and there, without any prompting, without any asking about faith or anything at all, simply walking up to her because she was inconsolable and saying, "Woman, do not weep. Do not weep." He was comforting one who was mourning. He was going to raise this young man immediately for her sake so that she would not be alone. Now, he could have done this any number of ways. He could have simply given her enough grace through those very words, "Do not weep," that perhaps her soul would have been filled and her sorrow would have lasted. But in this case, he wanted to make another point too, and that's about who he is in raising this young man. What do we say? We just heard it in the Beatitudes from Matthew chapter 5. "Blessed are those that mourn, for they shall be comforted." And we could take these words in any number of ways. And I want to actually inject a little Bible study into this right now. Because when we talk about the word comforter, we are talking about the Greek word parakletos, meaning paraclete, comforter, as it says. "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." But in this little mini Bible study excursion here, I think it's important, particularly for us as Orthodox Christians, to understand what we run up against sometimes in various translations of this passage, because it can be confusing. For instance, and as you can see, I'm loaded for bear this morning. There are any number of ways, for instance, that this word is given in a variety of translations. And the problem is that these translators are often looking at one particular passage in the context of whatever book it is they're studying, okay? They're not looking at the entire gospel to see the connections between the different books of the gospel and what the real meaning is. So if we look at the word parakletos in John 14, when the Lord says that He will send to us another comforter, that same root of the word is found in Matthew 5 when it's spoken about, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Yet, in any number of these translations, actually the King James gets it right. The New King James does not get it right. The Living Bible gets it right, although I would not recommend the Living Bible for any purpose whatsoever. The Revised Standard says, and I will send you yet another counselor. Now, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be counseled. It doesn't seem to work, does it? And yet another one, I will send you an advocate. So blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be advocated. That doesn't make much sense either. And even one of the most popular translations of about 30 years ago, that of J.B. Phillips, who was a very conservative Anglican evangelical in Britain, says unbelievably that I will send you someone else. Blessed are they that mourn for... I can't even figure that one out. So it's important for us to realize that I'm interjecting this only because it popped out at me last night when I was doing some research on this passage. It's important to understand that as Orthodox Christians, our view of the Bible, of the words that we find in the Scriptures, is actually much different from some of the translations that we find that we generally read. You have to be careful sometimes. You have to ask questions. Because again, although advocate and counselor are actually quite legitimate in terms of the Johannine corpus, the Gospel of John, where this root word of parakletos appears five different times, it is legitimate, yet it doesn't really fit with what we read in the Gospel of Matthew in terms of those that are mourning shall be comforted. The Lord sends us the comforter. Now, when we talk about those that mourn, as this woman certainly did, we also find other instances of mourning where isolation is actually something that is desirable. And why would this be? Well, Jesus was comforting the woman. He was imparting to her the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, when it fills a person, is something that, well, there's nothing else that's within them that needs to be done. It's completely filling. There is nothing lacking. The full comfort of the Lord is all that is necessary. And so in some instances, some saints have actually sought solitude. Instead of feeling lonely, their loneliness was taken away. We don't know about this woman in the gospel. Perhaps that happened later on when her son came back to her. Perhaps she learned more about the Lord later on. We know nothing about her from before or after this gospel passage. And in fact, the Gospel of Luke is the only one that mentions it. So it's sort of an enigma among the gospels. But at other times, saints have been filled and then saints have turned and gone somewhere else. And they've also done this with the same love for mankind that those who were lonely and needed people to fill that gap had. Today, we celebrate one of those saints, Pelagia of Antioch. Pelagia, her life says, was someone who was extraordinarily rich. She was a courtesan. If you don't know what that is, go home and look it up. But she was coming into town one day. She wore heavy perfumes, heavy makeup, was just decked out with all kinds of jewels, and was an unbelievably beautiful woman who was actually an actress as well. And as she comes into town, strangely enough, she passes a group of bishops who are there for a synod meeting. A very strange sight indeed. But one of the bishops, named Nonus, who is actually a saint who is commemorated in November, was preaching. And this, he was a very powerful, powerful preacher. And as Pelagia went by, all of the other bishops were turning their heads, you know, essentially shunning her. Oh, we can't look at this. My goodness, look at this woman. Stay away from her. And in their, you know, in their favor, many of the fathers would counsel the same things. But we don't know if they were doing it because of their own pride or because they were following the fathers. It's hard to say. But Nonus didn't look away. And they were scandalized by that. Nonus turned his head and watched her as she went by. And then he changed his sermon to his brethren there. And he said, brethren. And he broke down in tears. And he said, look at this woman. She shames us. Because even for the undesirable ends that she has in mind, the evil perhaps that is lurking there for her to ensnare men, at the same time, look at all the trouble she has gone to. She has gone to all this extraordinary lengths of making herself look wonderful, of perfuming herself, of following her goal. And that shames me because I haven't done half of what she has done in my own life to achieve the same ends with my Lord and God Jesus Christ. If only I had half of what she has in terms of her desire towards her own end, then I would be much further along in the spiritual life than I am. What a remarkable sermon. But Pelagia had actually stopped, and she was listening to some of this. And she returned later, and she sat and she listened to Bishop Nonus speak yet again, and her heart was stricken. She was converted right then and there. She realized what she was doing was so wrong, that she was following the wrong path. And she went to the bishop and she said, Father, I am sorry. I have done so many things wrong. I repent for my entire life and I fall down before you. And Nona said, no, he didn't want to be alone with the woman. He said, no. Come, you can talk all you want. Come into the entire synod. And she did. And she again made her confession before all of them and fell down and just prostrated herself in front of them and would not get up. She had to be compelled to rise. And one of the bishops said, well, because of this path that you have been following, how do we know if we baptize you, which is what you're requesting, that you're not going to return to your former life? And St. Pelagia said, very cleverly, because I am repentant and sincerely in repentance about all of this, that indeed, if you don't baptize me now, the chances are I will return to my former life, and then you're going to have to answer for that before God. Whereupon the bishops then baptized her. And she, of course, was ecstatic. And she hung around for just a few days. And there was a deacon who actually wrote her life, who was watching her during this time. But even he was unable to realize when she snuck off by herself one night and headed to Jerusalem. And no one knew about this except through the Spirit. Bishop Nonus knew what had happened. And so she went to Jerusalem. And the story has that she disguised herself as a man, although that's not really certain. We're not really certain because other of her lives talk about her actually putting on monastic garb. But she went to Jerusalem and hid there for the longest time within the confines of a monastery and became very famous because of her ascetic endeavors. Was known as Pelagios instead of Pelagia. And then so one day, Bishop Nonus tells his deacon, who was going to Jerusalem, he says, look, while you're there, I want you to look up someone that I've heard about. His name is Pelagius. He's a monk in Jerusalem. Please find him and spend some time with him. And the deacon did this. And Pelagia, upon meeting him, recognized the deacon. but he didn't recognize her because she was so completely changed by the ascetic life that she had led. Completely changed. But he spent about 2 hours with her and received all sorts of wonderful instruction and then went back to Jerusalem. And a few years later, Pelagia reposed. And because this famous monk Pelagius, whom everyone had known about, people came from all over the place to come to the funeral. And when the monks were preparing the body, surprise. They were all astounded at what they had found, that this was a woman who had been there leading this amazing ascetical life and had done so much for all of them, had loved all of them so much, so quietly, yet so obscurely, that she had given so much comfort to those who mourned everywhere that they were coming to Jerusalem just to take her counsel. So Pelagia fulfills the flip side of those who mourn, because we are also told, blessed are those that mourn over their sins, for they shall be comforted. Not just those who are mourning in sadness. And Pelagia, with her quick and rapid conversion, shows yet again the incredible power that Jesus Christ gives through his Orthodox faith, that these sorts of turnarounds can occur so quickly and so miraculously, because he does send us the Comforter, the one who comes to us when we mourn in sadness or when we are mourning over our sins. And one way or the other, we certainly shall have to mourn in that regard. Yet the mourning always leads to light. It leads to resurrection, like the woman of Nain saw today with her son. It leads to a resurrection physically. It leads to a resurrection spiritually, like it does in the case of Saint Pelagia. But the resurrection is always there. So let us take this in mind, my brothers and sisters, that while mourning may be part of this life, resurrection is the other side of it, and that it is always offered to us through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, who comforts us every minute of our lives. Amen.